Good morning. Scripture reading before the sermon will be coming from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 10 through 12. That again is the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 10 through 12. And it reads, "And there was certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. He has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Again, it is a pleasure and a privilege to stand before you in the absence of Greg Dismuke to bring forth another message from God's Word. And hope and trust that you pray for Greg and his family as he is off doing a good work in Tennessee. I heard Bob's announcement this morning, and no, I don't have a cake today. You might be surprised to learn that this pulpit serves a dual purpose. It's a pulpit and it's an oven. So next time, bring a cake, see my wife. Thank her for the cake. I really appreciate your presence here, and especially appreciate the singing this morning, the song service, Craig, and those moving words on the Lord's table this morning by Brother Donald James.
Yes, sir.
Quite moving. And one of the things that I like about Donald James is the way he addresses the brethren, my dear brethren. Every time I hear him do that, it just makes me smile. So I hope you never stop doing that, Donald, because I really look forward to hearing that every time he comes before us. This morning, in the book of Acts, before we get to our lesson, I want to bring our attention to something. You know, there are many examples of courageous and daring followers of God in the Bible. And in the Old Testament, we look to people like Samson, who took on the Philistines single-handedly. And then David, who would go up against that great warrior Goliath and defeat him. And then Gideon, who with only 300 men, would go up against at least 325,000 of the Midianites. And then don't forget about Deborah, who went up with Barak to war against the king of the Canaanites. But in the New Testament, what about the New Testament? What about James and John? They were called what? The sons of thunder. And then there's Peter and the apostles, who said they ceased not to preach Christ even after being beaten and threatened. That's daring. And then there was Stephen. Stephen, the one who was the first martyr that we can read about, the first Christian martyr. One who lost his life preaching the gospel. But it was said of him, it is read, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spake. What a daring person. Yes, these were all daring. But then there was Paul. There was Paul, whose apostleship was challenged by the brethren, whose preaching was condemned by the Jews. He was beaten, imprisoned, stoned, and left for dead. Yet he got right back up and went into the same city in which he was stoned. We talked about that in class this morning. Bob pointed that out. Thank you, Bob. What a daring person Paul was. Yes, he was a daring disciple indeed, but however, what about the disciple that's really spoken of? That disciple who was responsible for bringing the gospel to Saul, who later became Paul. Paul, the apostle who penned over half the New Testament. And most of the congregations that were established that we read about in the New Testament were established by Paul's and the journeys that he went on, those missionary journeys. But prior to this, Paul had been one of the greatest dangers of the church, one of the greatest threats. His own words were, "I barely thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I did shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them." And I punished them often every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. That means he did whatever it took to make them speak against Christ or renounce Christ, to blaspheme Christ. I persecuted them even unto strange cities. This is the man that Ananias went to with the gospel. Yet we rarely hear a lesson about Ananias. Well, that's going to change this morning. We're going to talk about Ananias. What can we learn from that daring disciple of Damascus? What made this man so daring? What made this man so daring? So that's the title of our lesson this morning, that daring disciple of Damascus. Well, number one, he was prepared. Ananias was a man who was prepared. Turn over, if you will, to Acts chapter 22. And let's look at that. Acts chapter 22, and we're going to look in verse 12. This is what is said about Ananias. Now, this is Paul recounting what had happened to him and when Ananias had come to him with the gospel. He says, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law. So let's stop right there. In preparation, one needs to be devout. So in other words, Ananias had nothing to hinder him. Nothing to hinder him. He was devout according to God's word. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and with fear. Now that was Ananias. He had nothing to hinder him. And then, because he was a devout man, he was devout, but he was also diligent. He was diligent. If you're going to be ready, if you're going to be devout according to God's word, then you got to know God's word. So that means he was diligent to know God's word. He was ready to learn it. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, but study or give diligence is what it means. He was diligent. Give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need him not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's Ananias. He was a man who was devout and diligent, and therefore he was dispatched to preach God's word because he was ready to preach it. But not only that, he had nothing to hide. He had nothing to hide. Again, Acts 22 and verse 12, it says, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, meaning dwelt in Damascus. This was Ananias. This was the description of him. He had a good report of all the Jews. Therefore, he had nothing to hide. So he was religious before man. And Proverbs 28 and verse 1, that's a very interesting scripture. It says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Man, when you got things to hide, you can't be bold. You just can't be bold. Not for the Lord. When you got sin in your life that you're hiding. Look at Achan. Remember Achan when he hid the things that God said that he was not to take when they went into battle? And he hid them in his tent. So there you had Achan hiding. You know, I remember a sermon that Chris Driver did. He's about Achan. He said Achan was shaking, bacon, shaking, bacon, and quaking, something like that. So, you know, Achan was a man who had to hide his sin. What about Ananias and Sapphira? Remember, they hid their offering, what they were holding back from their offering. They had something to hide, something to hide. But this was not Ananias. He had nothing to hide from the Jews, but also he had nothing to hide from the Lord Jesus. Let's go back to Acts chapter 9, and let's look at that once again. Starting in verse 10, it says, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in the vision, Ananias. And Ananias, he said, what did he say? How did he answer the Lord? Behold, I am here. Does it sound like he was hiding? Remember Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve enjoyed a relationship with God that none of us will ever come to know until we get to heaven. But their relationship to God on earth was one-on-one. One-on-one. And remember when God would come to them, here I am. But it went from here I am to hiding from the Lord after they sinned. That's what sin will cause you to do. It causes you to hide. What about David? With his sin with Bathsheba and what he did to her husband. David went from serving openly as a king to sinning secretly. And then David learned his lesson. Turn to Psalm 51, and let's read the words of David. David learned his lesson. Psalm 51, 10 through 13 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." And then look what the result will be. You know, when you don't have anything to hide, look what he says here. "Then I will teach the transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Oh man, when you have nothing to hide, you can openly teach. You can boldly teach. You can be daring, just like Ananias. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says that we have to lay aside every weight and the sin that which doeth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We got to lay that sin aside, those sins that will cause us to hide, those sins that hinder us and cause us to hide. And then we can be daring like Ananias. Ananias was a daring man. But not only that, let's continue to read about Ananias, and we're going to find something else, that he was perceptive. Ananias was perceptive. Look at his answer to the Lord. In verse 11, the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and he hath seen in the vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name." Let's just stop right there. Ananias was very perceptive, wasn't he? He was very perceptive. That means, you know, he was a realist. His acknowledgement showed that he was a realist. Ananias kept it real. He knew how dangerous Saul was. And so that was his answer to the Lord. "Lord, don't you know who this man is? I've heard of this man." But Ananias was a realist. And you know why he was a realist? Because, number one, he was involved. He was involved. He was a man that was involved. Let's look at something that Saul would say in Acts, or what was said about Saul in Acts chapter 9. Go up to verses 1 and 2, if you will. Verses 1 and 2. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way," that's the gospel way, the way of Christ, "whether they were men or women," so he did not discriminate, "men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." So we see in his acknowledgement, that he understood who this man was. He understood. This word breathing, it means to inhale. It literally means to inhale. So, you know, we would think it's exhaling, but it's talking about inhale. And what was he inhaling? What fueled him? What was giving him reason to live? The threatenings and the slaughter against the saints of the Lord. That's what this man was living on. That's what moved him. This is the man that Ananias had to go to. And you know what threatenings mean? The literal meaning of threat is means a threatening threat. Now, I've heard of a threat. But can you tell me what a threatening threat is? A threat is bad enough. But what is a threatening threat? And then the slaughter there actually meant murder. He was there to put the saints to death. This man was vicious against the Lord's people. But Ananias' acknowledgement showed that he was involved. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." We need to be involved. We need to be involved. If we're involved, then that means we're going to be informed. Ananias was informed. He knew about, he said, "I heard about this man." But that's because he was involved. You know, Acts chapter 14, if you will, turn there. Acts chapter 14. This is Paul and Barnabas after they had gone to Lystra and Derbe, and they had done some preaching in other places. But as mentioned, Paul and Barnabas, when they preached the gospel, they had healed this man who was crippled. Paul had healed a man that was crippled from birth, crippled from the womb. And you don't hear about that kind of miracle today, do you? You know, when somebody's crippled from birth, that means somebody's going to know him. You know, all these people we see on TV getting slapped in the head, who knows these people? I don't know where these people come from. But people knew this man, and they knew that he was crippled from birth. And so people were so excited. You know, they went to Paul and Barnabas, and they started giving them the names of the Greek gods. And Paul and Barnabas preached against that. And you know what they did? Got upset, and they stoned. They stoned Paul and left him for dead. And Paul got up, was raised up, went right back into that city again. Right back into the city again. And then when they left there and they eventually came back to Antioch, this is what happened in Acts chapter 14. It says, and when they had had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now let me ask you something. The way you serve God today, and this is personally for you. You don't have to raise your hand. Just think about it. If you were living back here, and you were in this place, in Antioch, in the church, would you have heard about this? Or are you one of those Sunday morning worship Christians only? Because I doubt if this was on a Sunday. Would you have been informed? Would you have been there to hear what Paul and Barnabas had done and all the work they had accomplished and what God had done for them, all the works that God had done with them? Would you have been there to hear that? I'm asking you that because it's important that we be informed and that we be involved. Would you have known about the new name in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26? Remember, back in Isaiah, that was prophesied. It was going to be a new name given by God. And when it said they were called, the disciples called Christians first in Antioch, that word call refers to being divinely called. Would you have known the new name? Or would you have been walking around and people say, hey, bro, hey, Christian? And you would have been like, what? No, my name is John. No, my name's Mike. No. Would you have been informed? Not if you're not involved. Not if you're not involved. Let me ask you some questions that happen in our time. Things that happen in our time. You ever heard of change agents? What about Crossroads Movement that happened some years ago? What about the One Nation Under God campaign? You know what that was about? That was when the Church of Christ endeavored to send gospel literature out into every household in America. One Nation Under God. Would you have known about that? What about who's teaching our, let's look in our congregation. Who's teaching our Sunday morning class? And he's doing a good job. How many of us are here for that? Are you involved? Are you informed? Do you know who's teaching the class? What about the Wednesday night class? Do you know who's teaching that? Maybe you're not involved. Maybe you're not informed. What about where Mike Brandt is on Sunday mornings? Have you noticed Mike's not here? Know what he's doing? Get involved. I'm not going to tell you. Get involved and be informed. He's doing a good work. What about Maxwell, where he preaches some Sunday mornings? Do you know where he goes? Do you? You ever talk to him? You ever notice that he's been gone? Get involved so you can be informed. Do you know about our Zone program? Do you? Zone 2 is having a meeting right after this service. This is your chance to get involved so you can be informed. Be a part of the Zone program. Let me ask you this. Do you know what a honey stick is? I know some of the ladies, you're surprised to hear about that one, huh? If you went to Ladies' Day in Chesapeake, that was one of the gifts given to the women. No, I wasn't there. Now. I didn't attend the Ladies' Day, but my wife, she brought one home. little thing like, you know, and you ladies, it's just as a compliment to y'all know how to do things. Us guys, when we get together, we don't give each other gifts. And ladies know how to do things, don't they? But a honey stick, I thought that was really interesting. And what about next week? The lectureship at Chesapeake. Do you know about that? Will you be a part of it? Will you be involved so you can be informed? That's what it's all about. His acknowledgement showed that he was informed. But what about God's answer? What about God's answer? I'm jumping ahead of myself. God's answer. God's answer showed that he needed reassurance. He needed reassurance. No matter how bold, you know, the greatest of God's servants need assurance when they face what seems to be impossible odds. What about Elijah, when he thought he was the only prophet left? He needed some reassurance. What about Jeremiah, when he was sent out to preach to a nation, they didn't care a thing about what he was preaching. Even threw Jeremiah in a dungeon. He needed some reassurance, you know? And so some of the greatest of God's servants needed reassurance. And we can think of a whole host of others. But you know, once reassurance is given, you have two choices. You have two choices. One is to abandon. You can abandon the work. Like the children of Israel, when they went to face the nations, and what did they say? When the 10 spies brought back the evil report, you know, what did those 10 spies say? We were grasshoppers in our own eyes. Not in their eyes, not in the nations that they were going to go fight. They said, we were grasshoppers in our own eyes. You know, those nations was probably shaking because they knew what God did for them. They knew what God had done for them in Egypt. But they were grasshoppers in their own eyes. So they feared. They feared. Numbers chapter 13, verse 14. What about Jonah? Jonah, when he was called to go to Nineveh, that great nation, that great wicked nation. Was Jonah afraid? I don't think he was afraid. Jonah was upset. Jonah said he knew about God's mercy. These people are so wicked, Jonah was like, no, I want God to destroy this nation. And so when God called Jonah, Jonah fled. You read about that in chapter 4. Jonah will tell you why he ran. Because he said he knew. I knew God. I knew you were going to be merciful. Yeah, because they repented. And you know, Ananias could have been the same way. Here you have Saul, who's out here persecuting Christians. Some could have been Ananias' friends. And Ananias could have been just as angry with Saul and said, no, I'm not going to him. I want Jesus to destroy this man. But no, that wasn't what Ananias did. You know, the other choice you have is to advance. You know, like Joshua and Caleb, they were ready to go and fight against those nations. In Numbers chapter 14, Joshua would say, if the Lord delight in us, they knew they could take the land. And then what about Esther? You remember Esther? You know, Esther had to go in and talk to the king, go into the king's chambers. Do you know that was against the law for the queen to do that? And she could be put to death? Well, what did Esther say? She said, if I perish, I perish. Because she knew that if she had done that, it would save the Jewish nation. Just like Christ did, wasn't it? Just like what Donald James talked about this morning. He emptied himself. He didn't think about himself. He thought about the will of God, and he thought about us. He thought about us. And so here you have Esther. Yeah, there are times not to advance, though. Yeah, even Paul in Acts chapter 9, verse 25. The brethren had to let him down a wall in a basket. Why? To escape a murder plot. He had a murder plot against his life. They already tried to stone him. Now, why would you try to murder this man? You already tried to stone him, it didn't work. But yeah, they had to let him down. And then what about Jesus? Jesus in John 8 and verse 59 and then Luke 4 and verse 30. Twice, Jesus had to slip through the crowd to avoid death because it wasn't time. It wasn't the right time for him to die. You know, there was a time here at Newport News when a group of us went out door knocking and went into an apartment complex. And the landlord came out and he ran us off the property. See, that was a time not to abandon. That was a time to abandon the mission. That was his property. As long as he gave us the permission to do it, we could do it. But since it's his property, we had to leave. But we tried. We tried. We gave it an effort. But you know what? When there is the right time, then we need to be daring like Ananias. Daring like Ananias. But not only that, one other thing we learn about Ananias is he was prompt. After God's answer, after God gave him the reassurance, Ananias, he was prompt to move. He was prompt to move because he understood. He understood. First of all, we have his hearing. Ananias heard what God had said about Saul and his plans for Saul. So Ananias didn't think anymore that, oh yeah, this man is dangerous. See, that's Ananias' thinking, not God's thinking. Isaiah 55 and verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. You know, God's ways are higher than ours. You know, we might come to a disclude conclusion about something, but God has a whole nother plan. And he had a whole nother plan for Saul, didn't he? A whole nother plan. No one would have thought God would have any plan for Saul. But Ananias, he heard. But not only that, he hasted. It didn't seem like Ananias took any time after God told him his plan for Saul. But Ananias went ahead and did what God told. You know, we talked this morning about being not just hearers only in class, but being doers. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You know, you deceive yourself if you think you're just going to be a hearer of God's word. You know, you'll be able to recite scripture, you'll be able to know God's word, but then you don't do it. Jesus said, why calling me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So here, Ananias, he was a doer. He was a hearer and a doer. But also, he had an act of faith, not a dead faith. When you're just a hearer and not a doer, that means your faith is dead. You have a dead faith. Even so, faith, if it have not works, it is dead being alone. That's James chapter 2 and verse 17. So we can't have a dead faith if we're going to be prompt to act. We need to make up our own minds to be hearers and doers. Remember what it was said about Ezra. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. It said, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. In other words, Ezra prepared himself. Remember, we talked about Ananias being prepared, right? And we talked about us needing to be prepared. That's something you have to do. You have to determine within yourself to be prepared. And Ananias prepared his heart. And not only that, what about Jesus? What did Jesus say in John chapter 5 and verse 31? He says, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Jesus was not just the hearer. He was a doer. And if we're all trying to be like Jesus, then what's that say about us? We have to be not only hearers, but doers. And this was the same Jesus that had come to Ananias. And Ananias was prompt to obey. And then finally, his obedience yielded results. Ananias' obedience yielded results. So he was prepared, he's perceptive, he was prompt, and that's what made him profitable to God. No, profitable to God. We can't profit if we don't perform. If you're coming here just to warm a pew, if you're just a Sunday morning worship Christian, you're not profiting God. And that's just the truth. You're not profiting God. If you're not involved and informed and doing the work, you're not profiting God. Coming in here for a nip of bread, a sip of the fruit of the vine, and then leaving a few dollar tip behind, that's not serving God. That is not serving God. We're not a restaurant, we're a rescue mission. We're here to save souls. And that's our job as Christians. We're called to save souls. Now look how Ananias' response to the call profited God. First of all, a convert was reaped in the vineyard of God. Let's go back to Acts chapter 9 and look at verse 18. It says, and immediately there fell from his eyes, because Saul had been blinded by the Lord before he was sent to Ananias. And Ananias put his hands on him so that he could receive his sight. And it says, immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. So here this man now was reaped in the vineyard of God. Here we reap the man, when we learn about Paul, who was Saul. Saul's name was turned to Paul. He was a man who was, he was diligent in study, devout in doing, and in daring in teaching. That's a description of Paul. And this is the man that was converted by Ananias. And look in verse 22 of Acts chapter 9. It says, but Saul increased and more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Look how this man was out teaching. This man come up out of baptism, and he's ready to go. What about us? How long have you been a Christian? What have you been doing for the Lord since you've come out of that water? Look at the type of Christian that was reaped, all because of Ananias. Not only was a convert reaped in the vineyard, but a Christian was recruited. Not just a Christian, a courageous Christian. Paul was courageous. Man, again, he was diligent in study, devout in doing, and daring in teaching. But let's go to verse 26. It says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Can you blame him? This man had been killing Christians, your friends, probably your relatives, and now he's claiming to be a disciple? That's when you need a brother to step in. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto him how he had seen the Lord in the way, and how he had, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly in Damascus. That's what this Saul had turned into now. He's now preaching boldly, out there teaching boldly. This was a courageous Christian recruited in the army of God. And not only that, let's go down and keep reading. And when he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem, Paul was involved, wasn't he? He was involved. Paul just didn't sit in a pew. Paul got busy. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Paul was preaching so boldly, now the persecutor has become the persecuted. Wow. What a change. This was a man now in part of God's household. But not only that, the church was relieved. They were relieved of an enemy of God. A man who now was diligent in study, devout in doing, daring in teaching. He went from slaughtering to now saving. He went from persecuting to now preaching. What a man. And all this because of Ananias. Look in verse 31. It says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were what? Multiplied. Wow. All because of this daring disciple of Damascus, Ananias. You ever think about that when you read about Paul? That Ananias was a big part of Paul becoming the man that he had become. Ananias, to me, is truly the unsung hero of the New Testament. It's a man you rarely hear about, but what a contribution he made. What a contribution. In the face of impossible odds, going to preach to this man who was mad against the church, putting people to death. But Ananias went and did his job. He did what the Lord told him to do. Ananias, I hope this lesson has been helpful to you. Do you want to be daring like Ananias? Then you need to be prepared. You need to be prepared so that you can perceive what's going on. And then you can be prompt to obey the Lord. And only then can you be profitable, like Ananias. And so today, if you have not been involved, if you have been just a Sunday morning worship Christian, You haven't been involved in the work. You've been hiding. Why? Maybe you have sin that's hindering you. You know, there's sometimes we have people that you know, afraid. They're just afraid to get involved. And sometimes they'll come in late so that they won't be asked to do anything. Yeah, we have men that'll do that sometimes. They don't want to become part of the service. So they'll come in late on purpose. And they'll hide in the back. And then when service is over, boom, they're gone. What profit is that to God? We need to think about our purpose of being Christians and be bold and daring, like that daring disciple of Damascus, Ananias. If you've been a Christian that's not been involved, then why don't you make a change today? Why don't you repent of that attitude and change your attitude and become one who really wants to be involved and to do something for the Lord? Look at what all the Lord has done for us. Did you hear those moving words on the table this morning?
Amen.
Look at what the Lord has done for us. When you partake of the Lord's Supper, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about what the Lord went through for you? And he's not asking very much of us in return. But yet, we refuse to do anything sometimes. So I'm asking you this morning, if you need to come forth, come forth and do so. And if you're not a Christian and you want to be on the Lord's side, then you need to obey the gospel. That same gospel that Ananias brought to Saul. And when he asked Saul, or actually directed Saul in Acts 22 and verse 16, he said, "Why tarriest thou?" Because Saul now, he knew that Jesus was Christ. He was ready to repent. He was ready to acknowledge his faith in Christ. All he needed to do was get up, do those things, and be baptized. And Saul said, and Ananias said to Saul, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." That's when you make your start. You come up out of that water, and then you get involved in the work of the Lord. And that's what we're asking you to do today. Otherwise, you will die in your sin. And we don't want that for you this morning. So if you need to respond this morning, whether you're not a Christian and hadn't obeyed the gospel, or whether you're a member of the church here and you haven't been involved, we ask you to come now as we stand and sing the song. Let's be prepared.